I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Podcastianos presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by the show's eternal optimist. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you?
Just keep on smiling. Smile, smile. Nothing's wrong. Everything is good and happy.
So we're recording a little bit earlier today. I think this is the first time I've ever seen you in daylight, not looking like straight up Dracula. What does daytime Eric look like?
It's pretty much the same, you know, just slightly less pale, but not a lot. Pretty pale yet.
So daytime Eric isn't like all business.
Well, you can see from my suit and tie that I'm wearing. No, I'm not a big, you know, I don't wear a tie. In fact, it's probably been 4 years since I've worn a necktie.
Really? To anything? Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
I had an event, was kind of a dress up thing with my daughter, but that was, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. I don't like, I'll wear a nice shirt, but I do not like the necktie.
Yeah. I don't really understand the point of them, but they are a social construct. I feel like I'm one of the least dressy people on earth, and I've definitely worn a tie several times in the last 4 years. That's wild.
Yeah. Overrated. I'm not giving in to big tie.
Big cravat. Okay. Yeah. No, today I wore to work.
An ascot guy.
A red shirt with toucans on it. So I'm not much of a dressy shirt guy either. So I wanted to get you in on this. We just discussed this. The Jorge Soler throw. We're recording this. What is this? Monday afternoon. Just finished up the Royals series. You got to see Jorge Soler's throw. Definite Delmon Young vibes. On a 1 to 10 scale, how much enjoyment did you take from that awful, awful throw?
You watched me experience it for the first time, and I was probably a little giggly.
Honestly, it was a pleasure to see you see it.
He spiked it into the Earth's core. He was trying to hit the mantle of the Earth. It went 10, 15 feet before striking the grass.
It was great.
Maybe.
I feel like, just like with Delmon, there's a reason that both of those guys probably should be DHs all the time. Delmon, obviously, not anymore, but at the time. Yeah.
Although, it was not like a lack of arm. It was just a mental breakdown. Like, was he like trying to throw it and then just at the very end, oh, no, just kidding, I don't want to throw it? Or it was weird.
I think so.
It was weird.
It
was a straight up spike.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting this week, did you see Akil Baddoo launch his line of NFTs? Did you get in on that?
This is up your alley. I saw a little bit of the artwork for it, yes.
So for those who are unaware, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. Google them. They're what's hot in the streets right now.
So the youths.
So you buy them and like you own something, but it's not real. Top Shot is the other big one. They're digital trading cards for the NBA. That's what I've sunk a decent amount of money into. So he was selling NFTs for the first pitch home run in his first at bat, the walk-off single, and the grand slam. And honestly, the artwork was really cool. It's like kind of comic booky. But he was selling, I think there was three of them, three different tiers, and the cheapest you can get anything for was $200. And I'm like, I don't know, Akil. Like, it's going to a good cause, RBI and Rise in Detroit, but I can't drop $200 on a Akil Badu NFT. Whitney would not.
The NFTs are the new hotness. So if I had to try to explain NFTs to somebody, I would say, let's imagine just a common everyday object like a cup. You know, there's 1,000. Anybody who wants a cup can have a cup, but there's one cup that has the serial number on it. And that one, only the numbered cup belongs to, and that's like the Uber cup. The essence of cup is only possessed by one person.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I hitting that kind of fairly?
I'd say so.
But here's the interesting part. Anybody could make a blue cup with a different serial number. So the value of the cup comes a bit from the person who is issuing it, mm-hmm. which is the part of NFTs that always confuse me. Okay, so you have like the Nyan cat or memes or whatever, and it went for $500,000 or whatever. But some other schmuck could issue a Nyan cat NFT, but it's just from a different source. So I could issue it. Now the NBA has a leg up because their clips and stuff are proprietary,
yeah, which officially licensed
their credibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's nothing holding me back from, or anybody else back from, issuing some Akil Badu thing, but it's got his endorsement in the endorsement of Tops or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that it's going to end up being worth anything. I think it's more of just a very cool fundraiser. But
right.
Yeah, I wanted in. I could not afford to be in. So hopefully Akil will do another run with some like $10 ones. I'll be all over that. We should tweet to him. Do you think we have any pull with Akil? You of the vanguard as far as his support.
Yeah, I was a early Akil guy.
So we'll see.
I predicted a lot of triples. Do you notice he's up to 3 triples already? Now 2 should have been home runs, but I predicted what, 8 or 9 triples?
Something like that. Yeah.
We're well on the way there.
Remember all those big plays that first week of the year? Feels like a long time ago.
Oh, it's so long ago. Maybe we should talk about how we stink.
So as many people know, this is a Detroit Tigers podcast. And it was an extremely rough week for the boys. And we'll get to that. But first, let's talk a little football. Later this week is the NFL draft, which means we're going to see a lot of Mel Kiper. Are you familiar with Mel? You watch enough ESPN. You should know who Mel is, right? The draft guy?
Of course. In fact, he was in my Twitter feed because there was a famous clip of the Colts general manager at the time, like berating him because they didn't take Trent Dilfer. They took some linebacker. That's what I saw.
I think either way, you didn't get the right end of that pick. So he recently did an interview with the New York Post and gave some insights to his apparently very strange world. Apparently, he watches an episode of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson every night at 11:30, which is apparently when it originally would come on, and an old episode of Dallas every Friday night at 9, also when it originally aired. It's interesting.
Okay,
do you appreciate the commitment to nostalgia there?
I like it. Makes sense, the consistency of it and a little bit of nostalgia. There's something comforting about it. Like when we were going through the teeth of the pandemic and there was a lot of anxiety in my life, I binge watched a show from my childhood, which was Star Trek: The Next Generation. Right. And I recognized it wasn't like the highest quality television. This wasn't Breaking Bad or whatever, but there was a certain comfort to it. So I kind of resonate with Big Mel. On all this right. one.
So if you think
I kind of get it. It calms you down and helps you sleep. I get it.
I think there's a certain comfort to that. Hear this. He also eats an entire pumpkin pie with fat-free whipped cream for breakfast every single day and has since the late 80s.
You're making that up.
I am 100% not making that up. Every
Are we talking an 8-inch pie here?
I didn't measure his pies. I'm envisioning full size pies, though I suppose it could be smaller.
I mean, if you're eating a Costco pie, that wouldn't be very healthy. But sometimes you can get the littler pies. Hey, it's fine. Enjoy your pie.
My big question here is, like, how do you keep pies stocked? You either are eating stale pies or you're constantly going out to get them. Who has time for that? Do you think he has like a pie boy that he sends out each morning to fetch him a fresh one from the local bakery?
Go forth, pie boy. You can hire, when you're famous like Mel Kiper, you can probably hire people to fetch a pie fetcher.
So anyway, brings us this week's leadoff question. If you were forced to eat the same thing for a specific meal every day, what would you choose and for what meal?
Ooh. Well, there's an easy answer and then there's a more fun answer. I mean, I think a lot of people have essentially the same thing for breakfast every morning.
That's true.
For when I was growing up, I had a bowl of cereal every morning. Now I typically have oatmeal or a bowl or a thing of overnight oats. I don't know if you know what those are.
Sure don't.
Like you put oatmeal and almond milk and yogurt and you stir it up and it sits overnight and it makes like a nice, let me not gussy it up. It's a slurry of oat product. And then I enjoy that. I sometimes have it with banana, but I could have that for breakfast every morning. But to a more interesting answer would be nachos.
Oh, that's a good call.
I love nachos. I'd have those for, because you can put like different things on them or whatever. But I mean, you look at Taco Bell, how many ways don't they put the same ingredients into different things? You could do that too. I mean,
definitely.
Well, how about you? What are you having?
So I don't know if I've shared this on the show or not, but I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for breakfast and for lunch every day from sixth grade through high school. Like that was just my breakfast and my lunch. I mean, that must have been like hundreds of thousands. That might be too many. I don't know exactly. Thousands of peanut butter and jellies.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably
you
wasn't
were
the healthiest.
Low maintenance.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I still like if I'm home alone, if Witt's out doing whatever and I don't feel like running out to get a pizza, it's just a PB&J. That's just the go-to.
So I had, well, back in the before times, we go down to Guatemala and we'd take a lunch and we'd have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because it's, you don't have to refrigerate them so much. And I had peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch for 1 week and I enjoyed it. I thought that was great. Glad to have a sandwich. And I would never eat one before and never eat one after for the whole year. And then the next week would come, the next time would come. That's what I'd have again.
Interesting.
Easy.
I feel like it with me, it's an addiction.
I don't dislike them.
Yeah. But no, like if I start eating them, it will be two or three times a day. I try not have bread in the house. But you know,
are you a grape guy or a strawberry guy?
Strawberry. I don't mind raspberry either. Get a little funky.
Wild animal you are.
So you can get in touch with the show on Twitter. I am at hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain and the show is at Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever platform you're listening to the show on. And we have a couple of reviews from last week, so we'll read them out. The first one comes from Blue in Wisconsin. 5 stars. Thanks, man. Lady.
You're my boy, Blue.
I grew up with the 84 Tigers. I live out of state now, but still like to follow the team such as it is. The Podcastianos helps to make sense of the rebuilding project that is the Detroit Tigers. Lots of great player detail. I even found myself laughing at the dumb jokes. So, I mean, I feel like that's pretty accurate. The jokes are not dumb.
They're not going to get better.
No, I feel like
so you might as well.
More than enough track record to suggest that the jokes are what they are.
Yeah.
And the other one is from Dr. D _ NYC. So I'm assuming this is a Manhattan doctor of medicine. He says, a show that is a wordplay on the former Tiger clearly doesn't take itself too seriously. And that is a good thing. Jordan and Eric know enough about baseball, just barely, but know enough about baseball and the Tigers, but don't stick to advanced stats talk in your face. The show is a good relaxing companion for a long walk. Appreciate that. That's all I'm going for.
That's your pace. You're a run podcast guy.
Yeah,
that's good.
And we do have a request from all of you at home. Everyone out there listening, we know that you have a friend that likes the Tigers. Right now, pause the show, text them a link. It will take but a second. And then now you have somebody to talk about us with. And that's a win-win for everybody.
And it will inflate our ego, which is very important to us.
Very, very fragile ego. And as you surely know by now, the show is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria in downtown Detroit. Looking to grab a bite before or after the game, Moots Pizzeria and Bar, located on Library Street in the heart of Detroit, is one of the Motor City's hottest restaurants and the only authentic New York pizzeria in the city. I'm a big fan of New York pizza. I don't know if we've discussed this, but New York pizza is maybe my favorite style of pizza.
I don't buy the it's in the water argument, though. Have you heard this argument?
No.
That you have to have New York City tap water?
No.
I don't really buy that.
That's nonsense. I mean, I'm no scientist.
It's a style.
But so the Belt Gnocchi there is amazing. I love gnocchi. I would say it's maybe one of the most underrated pastas going. Are you a gnocchi guy?
I don't know if I've had gnocchi. Does it start with a G?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what gnocchi is.
It's kind of
Isn't it like a potato dumpling kind of?
Yeah. Kind of like that. But typically comes with a good sauce. The Belt Gnocchi has pecorino romano, ricotta, and a palomino sauce. That's it. You can get yourself pasta, one of their awesome subs, or share something like the Mediterranean pizza with friends. Check out mootspizzeria.com to view the entire menu. And remember, Moots validates your parking for 2 hours when you park in the Z lot. Be sure to tell them that Jordan and Eric sent you.
It's making me, every time you read it, it makes me hungry for pizza.
Yeah,
I need to go to Moots, get some pizza.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So, Eric, it was another rough week for the fellas as we dropped another 5 of 6. And we that was this morning, so another 6 of 7. We have the worst record in baseball. So get this. We beat the Indians 2 of 3 in the first series of the year, and we swept the Astros. And outside of those two series, we have won 2 other games. Not great.
It's not great. And they're starting to add onto each other. And, you know, what's fascinating is the pitching has been largely good. It's been at least stable. We just can't score any runs.
Yeah. Coming into today, we are slashing 205, 264, and 357, which is good enough for last and third to last. I mean, 264 on base. That is so, I mean, not that 205 is good by any stretch, but that is so low. Robbie Grossman is literally the only guy on the team that has taken a walk this year at any point. I mean, not literally.
Robbie Grossman, I feel, is like propping up the team. It is adding some stability, at least. Just think if we didn't have Robbie Grossman.
Yeah, there would be nobody on base ever. I think what was really telling, as I was listening to the game when I was running today, and there was, as they put it repeatedly, traffic on the base paths a couple times during the game today. And Dan and Jim were like over the moon about that. We still lost 3-2. Like, we did not have a strong offensive game. But even a couple runners and 2 runs made Dan and Jim think, oh, this is progress. That's not very good.
They're not wrong. I mean, yeah, if you can strand runners in scoring position, hey, you had runners in scoring position, baby steps, I guess.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, how many shutouts haven't we had this year? I know it's 3, but it's had, we just can't score any runs. And that's sad. It's not fun to watch a game. If you watch a 7-8 game and it's back and forth and you end up losing, like, oh, you know, that provided some solid entertainment. But when you have, you know, 5 or 6 hits and no runs, it's not very fun.
And I think the worst part is you know that going into every single game. Like, I don't know. It's hard. Honestly, we're not even out of April in the D, and I already find it hard to turn it on in the evening. Like,
so to what are you attributing our lack of success? If you were to create a pie chart,
okay,
a pizza pie chart, and you had to assign colors to poor player acquisition, category 2, poor player development, 3, bad luck, and 4, let's call it strategy, managing, performance, positioning, that kind of. Well, how are you apportioning this pie chart?
That's a really interesting question. I would go 35% luck. I feel like luck plays a lot
really
bigger
that much
chance, a lot bigger of portion of how games actually play out. Like, we think that we can understand things through advanced stats, analytics, stuff like that, and you absolutely can. But there are certain things that are just down to luck. So I'm giving that a pretty healthy proportion. I mean, I feel like the other two big ones, I have a hard time attributing much in the way of anything this year to strategy, right, et cetera. Like, we just aren't in games enough for that to matter. So it really comes right down to, I think that I'm going to go more heavily in terms of player development than,
yeah,
but neither of them are this, good.
Right. I've come to this position too. There's Anthony Castro. Mm-hmm. Has been making some noise in New York, I believe. No, Toronto, excuse me. And we've had this guy bumping around in our system. He showed promise, but now he's like tearing it up. And there's been a few more examples of that. And players who have shown promise in other organizations and then come to Detroit and it's kind of like, eh, where was that? I think there's something to the player development the issue. So I'm giving a big chunk to that. I'm also giving some to player acquisition, mostly in the fact of we haven't spent any money. So we're not adding, you know, even mediocre to good free agents. I mean, if you made the offense entirely of Robbie Grossmans, think how good we'd be. Just all Robbie Grossmans, you would have an excellent, excellent baseball team. But we don't.
And we probably could have bought that if we wanted.
Sure, sure. But we didn't. I don't give much to like strategy or managing. I don't think so. Luck a little bit, but mostly the first two.
Yeah. So I think I was trying to brainstorm this a little bit. I think what it comes down to for me is more so than just how we're spending money. It's the lack of creativity when it comes to talent acquisition. So I was looking through our top 30 prospects. There's only 7 of those guys that weren't drafted by us. We've only, and let's see, the three of them were Rodgers, Cameron, and Franklin Perez that we added to the system a long time ago with Verlander. And the other two were Zach Short, two of the other three were Zach Short and Akil Baddoo, who are, you know, fringe guys. Other than that, all we've added to the system is who we've drafted. And when you're at the top of the draft every single year, it's fairly easy to add a Casey Mize to the system, a Riley Green to the system. Like, it's easy to do that. We have gotten absolutely nothing out of rounds. I say nothing. Minimal out of rounds 2 and beneath. We've gotten nothing out of trading free agents, which it's hard to trade free agents that you don't sign. I mean, it basically all of the guys that are of any stature in our system are our first-round picks from the last 5 years. And
we talked about, we broke this down a podcast or two ago about the Indian system and how they develop their pitchers. There sometimes seems to be a lack of a plan or like a greater strategy. I mean, how long has David Chad been in charge of our scouting and drafting now? I mean, yeah, there's been a few wins, but you better win when you get such high draft picks all the time. You better have some successes.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel like we're having less than our share.
This July will be 6 years on from the deadline that we traded Price and all of those guys to signify this is happening. 6 years is a long time in baseball. And
so
are we any
here?
Good.
I'm starting to see a lot more rumbling about Alavila, right? Is it okay? How much of it now is legitimate criticism of Alavila, and how much is it's hard to criticize a chef who doesn't have any ingredients or basically you can't get anything if you can't spend anything.
That's a really good point. I mean, he hasn't done particularly well with the ingredients given. It's like Chopped, you know, they give you the box. He hasn't exactly turned that into a five-star meal, but you're right. Like the guy that comes in next is going to have the same set of parameters that Avila has. Like it's just what it's going to be. My question to you is,
I'm generally slow to criticize Avila because he hasn't had a lot to work with as far as you know, just flat out money. But I'm starting to bend towards, how long is this going to be? Avila's been around. We like him. He's a nice guy. He's a chum. He's multilingual. He knows, you know, he's part of the club. He can do things. When does that stop being enough for a guy?
Yeah, definitely. I think he was really good as an assistant GM. I think that was a perfect, I think he just got promoted beyond his station.
We made a mistake by getting rid of Dave Dombrowski.
Sure, right? Did. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, if you could have Dave Dombrowski back right now, you'd be tickled. You'd be delighted.
I don't know why we kicked him to the curb now, but yeah, that's the thing. Avila didn't walk into an awesome situation, but he didn't walk into it.
He's not in one now.
Yeah.
Right. But he's not given significantly fewer resources than some of the other teams in this lower third have.
No, definitely.
And they're showing a little bit more.
I think my question is, do you think there ever really was a plan? Like, do you think that the construct of we're in a rebuild is just kind of some smokescreen for the Illich clan not wanting to spend any money? Like, it's kind of easy.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's kind of easy to go down that road.
When I heard Chris Illich praise the free agents we signed this year in reference to Urania and Tehran, we signed some really good free agents. And that was Chris Illich talking about that. I'm like, no. Oh, no. You know, you could have said, hey, we're excited about soon being able to really capture some exciting opportunities of upper echelon free agents. We want to be strategic about who we pick, because we've seen how it can backfire a little bit to not pick the right guy. So we're really going to pick our spots with that. He didn't say that. He said, we got some really good free agents this year, meaning we're going to probably do this again next year and the following year and the following year and bumble along. And the Chris Illich era is a failure as far as a fan. And while I'm ranting and not letting you talk, I'm going to say one more thing about this. And that is, I have bought into the fandom and the laundry and the old English D, but you don't have to. I don't have to do this. Nobody is holding you hostage and saying you need to support this team, you need to buy their stuff. When a restaurant is serving you trash, typically you do not go back. And that's part of the modern sports. And I've said this a lot of times, but you don't have to do this. You don't have to consume their product. And that's how modern capitalism works. If you want to follow a different sport, yeah, we'll be sad that you won't listen to the podcast as much. But
you can still listen to the pod. You don't have to follow the Tigers to listen to the show.
We still have so many treasures here. But you want to consume less Tigers because they suck? That is a healthy decision. That's not, you're a fair weather fan. You know when I go outside the most? When the weather is nice. That's smart. Of course you're a fan when the weather is fair. No dummy goes outside when it's thunderstorming.
Yeah, but I think what it comes down to with the Illiches, so. I feel like it's very similar to the European Super League thing. Fans who are in it very infrequently jump out. Like, they kind of know they have us. And they are going to continue to do whatever makes the margins bigger, which includes trying to sell Jose Urania and Julio Tehran as big free agent signings. Like, it's just
some economist needs to break this down. It's something about inelasticity of demand and all this stuff. Like, it's there. Somebody smarter than me can describe it. But yeah, they know we're kind of locked in. 120 years of Tigers history, we're kind of handcuffed. But if you don't want to consume this, you don't have to.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Because we're bad.
Yeah, feel like we should normalize the consuming less content. Like, that is completely fine. I feel like going back to your, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about why we are not scoring.
Oh, sure.
Because I want to highlight something that Dan Dickerson, who obviously I'm a fanboy of, because not only is he announcing, but he's also coming up with content. Really, I mean, he, in some ways, he's a writer or a content producer as well. And he did some research into, okay, what, why, drilling down a little bit, why are the Tigers not producing any offense? And he did some analysis on pitch types, and what he learned and was this, and it made perfect sense to me. The Tigers are doing pretty fine on breaking balls, off speed pitches. The problem is, and their discipline has been okay. The problem is they're not hitting or doing damage with fastballs in the strike zone. And watching the Tigers and thinking back, this is exactly right. You know, I've seen it from Akil Badu as well, as good as he's been. He swings and misses at some strikes, and up and down the lineup, you observe this. And these are the types of pitches you would think teams would do the most damage on. You know, the Tigers look sad even in hitters' counts when you can expect that fastball. And that tells me that these are just subpar players. I don't know how else to describe it. Big league hitters crush fastballs in the zone. At least they should.
Yeah, it really is dereliction of duty coming into this year. I mean, we've lost Miggy for a few, and Nomar Mazar has hit the DL. But other than that, like, this is more or less the team that we planned on going into the season with. Right. And there isn't hardly anybody on the team that can catch up to a fastball. It reminds me of, you know, the last couple of years, Miggy has had issues with the heat. It's like it's some sort of disease that has spread to everyone else on the roster. Like, I don't know if it's timing or approach or what's, I mean, like you say, it's personnel. Like, that's the big one. But there's just nobody that can, even if you get the pitch that you're looking for as a Tigers hitter, none of them are actually doing any damage with it. And that is the name of the game.
Over the last 10 games or however, Evan Woodbury shared the stat. We have walked four times and struck out 36 times, 4-36 ratio. It's just ugly. And some of that is just swinging and missing too much.
Yeah. Yeah. We're striking out five times more than we're walking this year, which you'll be surprised to know is the worst in baseball.
It's gotta be.
So coming into today, for the last week, we reached base at a 219 clip.
I mean, these are, at some point you have to stop making excuses. Now, AJ Hinch has been asked about this a number of times, like, what's going on? And his response is something like, well, it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of putting forth our best effort and stuff like that. That's good. I'm glad you're really coaching them up there, AJ. But at some point, I mean, these are professionals. If they're trying their best and you have prolonged stretches of inability, don't you have to find somebody else?
But who? I mean, Paredes is the only logical choice. But who? I just don't know.
But do we just have a revolving door of bad players? I mean,
yes, I think that's definitely the situation. Yes. Daz is down there. I mean, do you see Daz coming up and doing anything better? Like, there just isn't options.
Zach Short took some walks, got a hit. Okay. But that's not a long-term solution, but at some point, yeah, try somebody else. Run Zach Short out there. Show us something.
Yeah. Yeah, there just isn't options. I think we're looking down the barrel of a very, very long season. Let's move on to something a little bit more positive. They move our shortstop of the future, Willy Castro, off of shortstop and is now at second base. Nico has moved in at shortstop. Your boy McCoskey was suggesting on Twitter today that Willie looks like he's had a weight lifted off his shoulders going to second, kind of losing the stigma of being a bad defender at short. I guess you could probably see that with the bat a little bit. I don't know that there's any real.
How is McCoskey picking that up?
He is a very perceptive individual.
Yeah. You're going to say that and not just he's using his extrapolation and imagination.
So how do you feel about that?
Come on.
We thought that we had the shortstop of the future settled, and now he's at a different position.
Big deal. Everybody's at a different position.
Yeah. Okay.
You know who played first base for us today?
Harold Castro. Hitting Harold.
What is this, like, third or fourth game at first base ever? We have no position players because everybody's a position player at the infield. You know what they say about what do they say about quarterbacks? What's the phrase?
If you have
three quarterbacks, you don't have one.
I think it's two.
If you have six infielders, you don't have four. I just made up that saying.
That's deep though. I like it. All right.
But I mean, there's a little bit to it. Like if you can't say, I mean, the best we have is Candelario.
Yep.
He's a third baseman. He plays good. You can pencil him there. That's pretty good. Anyplace else, it's kind of like, meh, we'll see when we pull out of that today.
Yeah. And like I said last week, Candelario is a six or seven hitter on a good team, not the by far.
What position does Jonathan Schoop play?
I mean, he's a second baseman. Play him at second base. Like, I don't know.
I don't know the answer to the question. I would have said, yeah, he's a second baseman. Does he play second base for us?
Hardly ever. I can't remember the last time.
Willie Castro's the second baseman. He's the shortstop. Who's the shortstop for us now? Goodrum. Well, he's the utility guy. I mean, so I'm counteracting what I said about I liked Hinch's prove to me you can't play their approach, but it's getting a little annoying now. I'm annoyed.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but I feel like I keep coming back to it doesn't matter. None of these guys are good really in any position. So who cares? Who cares where you throw them out and in what order? I mean, am I wrong? Like, I want Willie to be great. I think that there's potential there maybe long term. I want Nico. I love Nico. Nico's my boy. None of these guys are really performing right now. It doesn't matter if they're hitting .159 or where they're playing.
It's not about picking the right kindergartner to take the SAT. It's just like kindergartners shouldn't take the SAT. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. All right. Do you want to talk about Boyd this week or should we save him for next week again?
Boyd has been good.
Yes.
I feel like we talked about him.
We have a true anchor at the top of the rotation again. He's a lefty. It's been, what, five starts? I feel like I don't want to read too much into this. My question for you, though, is inevitably this will come up. He has 1 year left of arbitration before he hits free agency. Do you think that we learned a lesson from the last time that his value spiked?
No, probably not. I don't know. It's you feel like you've been just subjected to so much bad luck where you feel like if you keep him, he's going to stink. If he leaves, he's going to be awesome. Don't you feel like snake bitten a
yes,
little bit?
100%.
And honestly, maybe both things could be true. If we buy into the idea that there's something lacking in our organization about bringing players along, that undermines your whole foundation because that informs how and who you sign. I mean, yeah. So this whole thing is a little negative. I've bought into the zeitgeist of the day. That's a big German word. Like I'm seeing everybody's pooing on the Tigers and I've succumbed.
I mean, it's hard not to.
We got to talk about something happy.
Literal worst
this started as something happy.
With Boyd, the thing is change-up use is way up. It's up 10% from last year to right-handed hitters, which if you can throw a change-up to your opposite hand hitter, you are going to have more success. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
His command has been excellent. And that's why he's gotten away from getting shelled.
He's also only allowed one home run all year, which is looking very good for my prediction that he doesn't lead the American League in home runs allowed. We'll see. We will see.
You're a regular Nostradamus.
All right, let's jump ahead to your power rankings.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Really? Okay, here we go.
Do you have anything else to add to the Tiger Talk segment?
Tigers? I don't know. What else did I have? No, I think we've talked enough about the Tigers. Okay, so with the Tigers, I am not as angry and bitter as I sound, nor am I as angry and bitter as most of the Twittersphere. And some people are, it's so weird because some people are like, oh, everything is trash. Avila's trash. Chris Illich is trash. And some people are like, why are people so upset? And hello, we haven't won any games. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, you can still enjoy the Tigers. You don't have to get mad. But yes, it's fair to be upset because they're so stinky.
Yeah.
So
in a nutshell, fan how you want to fan. And don't worry about how anyone else is fanning.
We've talked about that a lot. Okay. We're recording earlier in the day. Usually I have the evening to marinate on my thoughts and really let them simmer for a while. Now I spent 45 seconds coming up with these power rankings. So it's either going to be so good or it's going to be absolute trash. So
I appreciate the disclaimer.
Power rankings this week are website suffixes. Is that what you call them? Extensions? The thing but behind the dot. So dot blank. Ready?
I am. This is exciting. This should be a good one.
I hope so. Ugh. Starting at number 7 is dot. Oh my gosh. So I already screwed it up. Okay. Number 7 is dot US.
Wow. Do you hate America? Okay. Is that why it's number 7?
Dot US. Okay. That's fine. It's good that it's from America, but yeah, it's fine. It's useful, I guess, but also it's not usually what you're looking for in a website. If I see .us, I'm a little suspicious.
Just not patriotic.
All right. Number 6 is .tv.
Ooh. It's a good one.
Okay, I know it has to do with TV, but probably not the first thing I'm looking for.
Definitely not. It feels like something that you're probably going to watch an illegal stream on.
Yes.
Which on occasion is necessary. I mean, don't ever do that. Who would do that?
Make sure you have the right protection. Don't stream without protection, friends. Number 5 is .net. And to me, this says the .com was just taken.
Yeah, definitely. Or is too expensive.
So you have to go to .net. Yeah, or too expensive.
Respect that. I mean,
it's
not everyone has.
It's kind of like the backup.
Yeah.
It's like the backup generic thing for if you can't get what you want. Right. Okay. Number 4 is .gov. Very useful, I think. I mean, I know that this is associated with the government. That's helpful.
I feel like those websites typically are not particularly helpful just in how they're structured and the actual real life application of said sites.
well, they're not usually not very interesting, and you have to like mine through 50 pages to find one tidbit of information you want. The feds aren't always real efficient, if you've noticed.
I haven't, but I will look out for that.
Where are we? How's this going so far?
5 out of 10.
We're stepping up. Number three is .org. .org. I know it's from an organization. That's good. You know, these places are great. They're trying to find a website. .org.
.org good. Is like the nerd of all website suffixes.
I'd live with that. That's good for third.
Yeah.
Number two is .edu. A lot of the what are you grimacing at? .edu is good.
Boring.
I know I'm getting trustworthy information from an institution of learning. You know, if you have that .edu email address, you know, it's prestigious.
Yeah, I feel like
you're a man of learning, a scholar.
That's like a blue check on Twitter. Like if you get something from .edu, you can typically rely on what's in that email.
The person sending it has a tweed jacket with leather elbow patches.
And they want to live
in Brooklyn. May use a monocle. What?
So they want to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah. They use an overhead projector that they write on. That'd be good. It's very stuffy. Many leather-bound books. Okay. Number one is obvious. You better get it.
I'm assuming it's .com.
Of course it's .com. When I want to interact with the website, I want .com. And even if the word has to be longer, like place here and there in Detroit, like make it longer and then just go .com. Don't try to trick me with ., you know, whatever. Just .com.
Okay.
Speaking of the worst ones, here we go. Third from the worst is .mil. For the military. Have you ever even seen this?
No.
It's supposed to be like a, you know, a big thing, but I've never used a .mil site in my life.
Huh, interesting. I didn't even know that existed. Man, really not patriotic here. Putting the troops in the bottom three and the flag at number seven. Man, commie.
Number two from the worst is .info. Now, if I'm looking at a .info site, I'm probably not actually getting good information. you got to be a little skeptical of the .info, don't you?
Yes, because if it was actually real, it would be .com, .gov, or .org, or .edu.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Or .biz.
The number one .worst is what?
I don't know.
You just got done saying it.
.biz? What?
Yeah.
Disrespect. .biz is
who's using .biz?
People that mean business.
Does Moots use .biz? I better be careful.
No, they don't. They use .com.
Okay, good.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. .biz. You remember that guy in the Muppets with the green head and like he's got a trench coat and he opens the trench coat and shows Ernie like a picture of elephants or watches like, hey, pal. You want to see a picture of four elephants? You know that guy? That's what a .biz website is the Sesame Street guy in the trench coat. That's Power Rankings.
To be fair, when you said that he opened his trench coat, showing a picture of an elephant is the least objectionable way that scenario could end.
Hey, it was a more innocent time, okay?
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So, I don't have anything I saw on the side of the road, but I do have something that I saw walking
Tales from Indiana
into the studio today, just before you and I sat down. So, I'm walking in. The studio is in this part of a co-working space here in South Bend. And outside, outside the studio, it's an indoor co-working space. I see a dead bird just chilling on the floor. I have so many. First of all, how did this bird get in here? Why is he dead? And why are there so few people in this co-working space that there is still a corpse on the floor in our co-working space? So anyway, that was my story. Not a lot going on the side of the road this week.
Birds are sneaky. Birds are like air rats. I mean, they could find their way into stuff.
All right. Well, maybe I'll give them a pass.
We had a we had a very nice vacation house in Florida, and there was a bird hanging out in the wall in this house. Like, it would fly in. Like, they're sneaky.
Interesting. What kind of bird?
A small one.
All right, let's get to Twitter questions.
Okay, I gotta, gotta give me some lead time so I can drive here. Okay, I issued the question, so I have to find where the Twitter questions live, and now I'm doing that. This is really good entertainment. Okay, now I'm clicking it, and okay, we'll start at the bottom. At the top, just kidding. Okay, Jacob Skronik asks, ooh, this is going to be fun to talk about. Is relegation really such a bad idea? Surely the Pittsbitters could do a job at the major league level. So this was out of, we trashed the Super League last episode, and then I tweeted out something about, it's probably a good thing we don't have relegation because the Tigers, not looking so good. How about that? Promotion and relegation for baseball.
I think it's a really fun idea. I'm generally for it. The problem is you have teams, I mean, the second tier of American baseball comes from within the top tier of American baseball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if we
yes.
had independent.
They're a wholly owned subsidiary. Yeah. Of the, right.
I think it'd be really fun. Just our baseball system isn't set up for that. Maybe we can take the Frontier League and the Atlantic League and form a super other league and have relegation and promotion from that.
What you would have to do if this were ever to become a reality is you would have to basically have something like 15 expansion clubs. And maybe if baseball ever got greedy enough or something with the antitrust exemption happened or something like that, but then you'd have a secondary pool of independent or basically not associated with the top tier to make it happen. So in basic terms, this will never happen.
Be fun if it did,
but it would be awesome. It would be awesome. Yeah. David Fleece Fleiss asks, who's a guy in quotation marks you'd like to see the Tigers sign/trade for in the next couple of years?
That's an interesting question.
Basically, who's the 2023 Robbie Grossman of the world?
Ooh.
Is that what we're asking?
I mean, I'd have to look at a free agent list. But I mean, I'd love to get my hands on Lewis Brinson, bring him into the fold, see what our player development can. I'm just kidding. That's a deep cut. I don't know. I probably should have done some research. I don't have any.
How about Verlander? Will you be excited about Verlander if we could get him?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be more for sentimental purposes than actual. Although with him, I feel like he's got a bit of Brady to him. I wouldn't put it past him to pitch at a high level for a while.
Here's a question for you. Everybody kind of assumes this is going to be a reunion, but if you are Justin Verlander, what motivations, beside money, would you have for joining the Tigers? If you have that competitive fire and you want to win some games, joining the Tigers is not going to get you there.
It's a bad idea.
And you have the additional work of dealing with nostalgia, dealing with, you know, teaching the youth. If you're a Tom Brady type, you don't go to the bottom, you go to the top, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think that we're going to offer him a package that will make it financially good for him to come here either. So I think we can potentially just cross that one off the list.
Yeah. You're not gonna offer him a package like the Sesame Street guy. Lev Zubov, back-to-back weeks for Lev Zubov at the Jackpot News.
Oh, yeah, our Russian
friend. What are the best snacks to enjoy on a peaceful summer night, undisturbed by any noise from the Tigers' bats?
I'm a big pretzel guy. I like pretzels.
In
most different forms. I don't like the, you know, the long rods. I'm not a big fan of those, but like sticks.
I was going to say, those are my favorite.
Of course they are.
With cheese dip, pretzel rods with cheese dip. All the other ones are just whatever, but the rods are good.
They're too girthy for my taste.
You know what snack I like is pistachios.
Ooh, that's a little bougie of a snack.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a little more rewarding than the peanuts. Yeah.
That moots money coming in. We can already feel it from you.
Yeah. Get some salt and pepper pistachios.
Mm. Oh, it's so flavored pistachio. Holy cow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Salt and pepper pistachios. Nice, they like put them in a, oh yeah. They like put them in a brine of some sort. It really flavors them. It's good. Okay. Sango Meal at Slugwizzy. Slugwizzy. Who would be the next GM and can he start today? So this gets to a question later on too, but Ludnow is out there.
I would take him.
And he and AJ Hinch have a relationship.
I would take him in a heartbeat, but like we said earlier, I don't know that it's going to matter. He's not going to sign free agents out of his own pocket. Like, I mean, he might put together a better meal with the chop basket than Avila, but like the ingredients aren't probably going to get any better. I don't know.
So
what do you think here?
Do you have hope for the Illich family that when the time comes, but like what demarks when the time comes, you know, do you have a sense that the Avila family will eventually get behind a promising team? It's not for lack of money. They just bought half of an Atlantic City casino. People like to post about that.
I don't know.
But they're just a family pizza company. They're not big pizza.
Yeah, they're not big pizza. They're Little Caesars. That's the tagline. They are big. Like, that's just a flat out lie. They are big pizza.
They're the biggest pizza, really.
But to answer your question, I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know. I could see it going either way. I could see them riding out with Mike Fiers and Robbie Grossman until we die, or I could see them jumping in 2 years when there's, you know, demonstrable progress. I don't know. I think either of those are more likely than us getting the wish and them selling out, though.
For many years, people would say the Tigers are only spending this money or going for it because Mike Ilitch is old and he's approaching his grave and he wants to build a contender before he dies. And for years, I poo-pooed that. And I said, no, this is an organization that, you know, wants to, you know, build out their footprint downtown, and having fans downtown is an important piece of that. And so this is a institutional organizational strategy to have a good Tigers team. And I'm starting to question how I was feeling about that.
And I think it's
now COVID might be a part of this, because they're having more people downtown isn't really a realistic thing for them right now.
I think COVID is a convenient excuse, as it is for a lot of different things.
Sure.
But
I guess.
And I think it could be a little bit different. The structure and the direction of the organization could have changed from when Mike was running things to when Chris was running things. Like, they might just have different goals for the business, which we need to not forget that it is a business.
Right.
Mike obviously wanted to win. He put a lot of money into winning. Chris seems less concerned.
Right. Got it. Let's see. Shrek Hemingway at ThinkPad user 34. It took me a while to parse out what that was. ThinkPad user asks, should we be more mad at Avila or Ilitch? I still think Ilitch.
Yeah. I feel like you can be irritated by Avila, but like mad at him? I don't know. Like,
not mad, yeah.
At the end of the day, he's still a man doing his job. And because he's doing it poorly, like, think of everyone else in every other profession. Like, do you get mad at them when they do their job incorrectly? Like, I don't know. I'd say have
only
a little
if it's
bit
like
of
the pilot or something.
Yeah, or an accountant. But other than that, like, I don't know. He's just not particularly good at his job. I feel like that's forgivable. Don't be mad at him.
And then he asks, he or she, who am I to assume gender? They ask. And what's the deal with the strong correlating timeline between the tragic 2016 death of Harambe and the Tigers' downfall?
R.I.P. Sweet Prince.
You're a Harambe guy.
I am. That's pretty strong evidence. I mean, when Harambe was alive, so were our title hopes after they were,
you know what I related
struck
to
down in his prime. Go ahead.
It's the loss of the rounded jersey D. That was the tipping point.
Definitely not.
We needed the rounded jersey D. Yeah.
I'd like to go on record and say that I'm in the Harambe camp here.
Okay. R.I.P. Mitch from Michigan asks, your life depends on a Detroit sports. This is a good question, I think. Your life depends on a Detroit sports team having a relatively decent draft class. Whose drafting ability do you trust the most between Matt Millen, Al Avila, Stan Van Gundy, or Ken Holland in order to save your life?
I'd be lying if I said I knew anything about Ken Holland or even who that is. I'm assuming he is a GM of the Red Wings. Based on
you assume he was, now it's Iserman. Of those, probably Avila.
Was
Ken Holland,
was Stan Van not a good drafter?
No, I don't think okay. so. No, he wasn't. He was awful.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to go with Avila then too. To be fair, his first round picks haven't been terrible. And that's what people look
at. But I think this question speaks to the misery of Detroit sports in total, right?
Yeah, and then you throw,
I mean, it's a bad time.
Michigan football, Michigan State football, into like, yeah, not great all
around. Feels bad. Zach McCurdy at Zachy Mac asks, we need further discussion on which Tiger, current or past, you'd like to see host Jeopardy. Suggestions include Jeremy Bonderman, Craig Monroe, Delman Young, Gary Sheffield, and of course, Don Kelly. So we answered this, didn't we? Last time?
So.
Zach wants more. Can't get enough of the Jeopardy.
I feel
talk.
Like I suggested Simo last time. I want to go with Carlos Guillen. I remember him in some of his interviews. Mm-hmm. He doesn't enunciate real well, specifically because of what he's got going on in his lower lip. I would love to see him try and read the Jeopardy clues with a massive amount of dip in there. That could be fun.
It'd probably be clear. He's more used to it that way. Let's see. How about Curtis Granderson? How about Phil Koch?
I feel like anytime we have a discussion about intelligent tigers, we immediately always go to Curtis because there are a ton of, and Phil Koch, obviously. I feel like Verlander probably would be decent with it too. He's got some charisma.
Well, Granderson, his parents were educators. So, I mean, he's been in the world. He probably has a .edu email address.
For sure.
Yeah. Michael Cipher at Cipher Michael asks, should Illich fire now and let AJ Hinch or Ludnow run this draft? Cannot have another Avila run draft. Kind of ornery. I have a feeling, Michael, you're going to have another Avila run draft. And Avila probably gives general assent to the picks, but a guy like David Chad is making these picks.
Yeah.
It's not Avila.
I would agree with that. And to be fair, Avila and his crew have been doing draft prep for the last, 9-10 months. I don't know that I would rather bring somebody in fresh that hasn't been looking into all of these guys. Like, I think I'd rather just, if the route is to lose Avila, which I kind of imagine that it probably will be, I think the play is to let him finish this one out and then start fresh the day after the draft, so to speak.
I can't see Avila going anywhere. I would have said the same thing about Dombrowski, though, too, but there seems to be a chumminess, you know, kind of a comfort, he's our guy. Yeah. He's not making waves. He's not doing anything bad or wrong, so to speak. It's just not doing anything good.
Yeah, just not doing well. All right.
Mm-hmm. John Gamble, local man at Gambombs, asks, is there any way the Tigers' morass is Whitmer's fault? She's awfully silent on the subject. We're not talking about the governor and we're not talking about politics.
Haven't heard her said a word about the
Tigers.
Although,
I think something fair to say about Gretchen Whitmer is she has a very Midwestern accent. Maybe I don't notice it in myself, but obviously I'm a Michigander. But you listen to Gretchen Whitmer and you're like, oh yeah, she's from Michigan.
You know the nice thing about moving to the state of Indiana is I don't really hear about the state of Michigan politics anymore. It's kind of nice.
It's a good thing. Yeah. Let's see. Pizza Slayer, one of the slaws, asks, do you think Jim Leland's wife raises her eyebrows every time every year when Jim writes his annual Christmas cards to Ryan Rayburn and Jeff Larish, but doesn't send one to Cabrera or Verlander. That's a big assumption. There are a lot of assumptions in that question. What's wrong? I'm sure he does.
Also, what's wrong with Ryan Rayburn? Dude mashed against left-handed pitchers. Put some respect by his name.
Yeah. He was an enigma wrapped in a mystery, wasn't he?
He was.
Okay, Tom in Ohio, at Tom in Ohio asks.
Woof, why are we answering my goodness. From Ohio's question?
You're from Indiana?
Yeah, but it's Ohio. No offense, Tom.
Indiana is JV Ohio.
Indiana's not great, but it'll never be Ohio.
He asks, my goodness, two more years of Miggy? Can we survive?
Yes. None of the other players are good either. It's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's the situation.
You know, does somebody like Albert Pujols get this kind of orneriness in Los Angeles?
I bet he does. Although he's in LA, nobody cares about sports out there, so he probably doesn't.
Right.
They got other things going on.
Is he as good as Miguel Cabrera right now? Are they equally good? Are they equally bad?
I think they're equally bad. Okay. Unfortunately, Albert is a lot closer to the end of his contract than Miggy is.
Yeah, well, that's true. But then doesn't he have some options and he gets a position and stuff? The Pujols contract was kind of weird too. Anyway. Lawn Steak Ball, I think another one of the slaws, asks, what are your top five favorite Doug Teeter moments? Doug Teeter is our head athletic trainer. And you can't miss him in the dugout because of his bald head and because of his, he's a man of size, right? He's kind of a big dude. Doug Teeter is awesome. So I don't know if I have any favorite Doug Teeter moments, but it's always a good thing when he goes out there and just like, you know, somebody hurts their arm and you like how these athletic trainers like give it two squeezes and like, oh, move your hand. And then they know something, which I find incredible. Like you're squeezing it in the right spot and you say, okay, it's broken or not. Or, you know, what are they doing?
I don't know. Witchcraft. I think that's what it comes down to.
It's better than the soccer magic spray, but is it more thorough than that, really?
50-50.
Any more Doug Teeter comments from you?
No.
He's a good, being a head athletic trainer is more than just being a doctor. Like Kevin Rand too. I mean, you need to, you're with these guys all the time. You need to be social. The things that you say and the attitudes that you have affect the club. So you need to look out for their health, but be positive. It's gotta be a tricky job.
Like head part doctor,
trainer,
part right? shrink. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. Joey Oliver at Joey _Oliver asks, with Jeff Larish such a hot topic in the last episode, I think y'all need to do a fantasy starting nine of the most random Tigers of the past 20 years. And then he offers a suggestion.
Okay, let's hear it.
And I thought this was a really good list. At catcher, we have Max St. Pierre, who got a cup of coffee. He was a long-time minor leaguer.
It's a good rando name, too.
Matt, doesn't it sound like a romance novel protagonist? Hello, or a soap opera? Hello, I'm Max St. Pierre. Hi, ladies. It's me, Max St. Pierre. Yeah.
Yes, okay. It does.
Number one, at first base, we have Jeff Larish.
Of course.
Who we talked about. His helmet always looked a little too big, like the Great Gazoo, like it was covering his eyes. Look at any picture of Jeff Larish. It's no wonder he didn't stick in the major leagues. He couldn't see the ball. His helmet was too big. Anyway,
yeah.
Second base, Will Rimes.
There's no other choice here. It has to be Will.
My first tweet ever on this forsaken website was about Will Rimes. Anyway,
that fits.
Third base, Jack Hanahan. Remember him?
Yeah, I was going to have him. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what position, but I definitely thought, yeah, he's got to be in the team.
Remember he was traded or we let him go? Anyway, he played for the Oakland, A's, and he kind of mashed for the A's for a little while.
Yeah, kind of a Donaldson type deal.
Yeah. At shortstop, we have Brett Dlugic.
Oh, that's right.
You remember him?
Yeah.
He was really good for the Whitecaps for a while. I always remember Dlugic as a Whitecap for some reason.
Coburnus play shortstop?
What's that?
Did Coburnus play? I mean, I don't know that he ever actually played for us, but...
Jeff Coburnus was an outfielder. He came as a Rule 5 pick from the Nationals.
But he never stuck, and I was did he?
He never... No, I thought for sure he was going to be on the roster, and they sent him back unceremoniously. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Where are we? Left field, Cleet Thomas.
Cleet got some run. I feel like he played a little too much to be a rando. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
This one would fit the bill. At center field, we have Brett Cleveland.
He was hot for, what, a week? He squeezed almost a career into, like, 1-2-week stretch.
Right field, we have the upstate baller himself, Casper Wells.
Casper Wells.
Fifth generation Casper. He was fine. I thought he was going to be the future, right?
Why? He came, we sent him in the Pfister trade.
I should know this, but I think he kind of puttered out. I'm not sure. thank you. DH Jeff Frazier.
Oh, hang on. I have a few more to add to this. Steve Lombardozzi, legend that came over in the, what trade was that?
He came from the Nationals in the Pfister trade. Yeah.
Oh, and we traded Pfister. Yep. And we're not doing pitchers? What about Wilfredo Ledesma and Futei Ni and Alfredo
Francisco
Simon.
Cruchetta.
May he R&P.
No, he's got a couple pitchers. We have starting pitcher Andy Oliver.
Andy Oliver, yes.
Okay, so Andy Oliver was, it was fair to dream on Andy Oliver. Left-hander with really good stuff, and it would have been fair to think that he was the future.
He was like a second-round pick. He wasn't just some out-of-nowhere guy.
No, Andy Oliver, you could have done. Yeah, I thought he was going to be good. And reliever is one of my all-time favorites, Luke Pekonen.
Of course.
He's not just some guy. Luke Pekonen.
He's a gamer. Favorite of this show, for sure.
Nobody in this world is a bigger fan of Luke Pekonen than me.
I don't know that I'd be proud to say that, but whatever.
Yeah. That was fun. Those are some guys for sure. I thought of Scott Sizemore. Remember him? Mm-hmm. Then he went to go. You got him from the A's, or he went to the A's.
Hooper.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in 5 years or 6 years, we'll be really looking back on this era and be thinking, oh, remember this guy? Yeah, he was extra mediocre. I feel like that's where we're going to be soon.
So I can't believe your boy Tuiasosopo didn't get a mention.
Matt Tuiasosopo. It's fun. It was fascinating. We had him right during the teeth of the Manti Te'o thing. And it's his like second cousin or whatever who was the pretend girlfriend or something like that. You remember all this?
I remember.
It was big news for a while.
I didn't remember that he was, you know, related or whatever, but.
Yeah, he was related to the whole sitch. Hmm. It was weird.
Yeah, good for him. Or whatever.
Was it, he's most famous for hitting a home run that was precisely predicted by the announcer in Seattle. If you haven't watched that clip, it's worth watching. That's it. That's it for Twitter questions.
All right. That was a good
set.
Good
job, Fawn.
I feel like normally you berate our listeners for the lack of quality, but that was a good set.
Yeah, it was the Jack Hanahan of Twitter questions.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite.
Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at, he's at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. And as always, hit up our sponsor, Moots Pizza. Get yourself some pizza, mootspizzeria.com. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
Keep your chin up, friends. I'm going to give you the same advice. If Tigers baseball is just making you sad, don't consume it. If it makes you happy, do it. If it makes you so sad and frustrated, like you want to throw things, like go for a walk, read a book, memorize some poetry, learn to play an instrument, you know, better yourself. I'm not going to, but I mean, you should.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye. Oh, here we go. Oh! Was he trying to throw it into the Earth's mantle? Donk. That was just a screen cap from a guy just videoed his television, but that's all I needed. That maybe he threw it 10 feet in front of him. Doink.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.